Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan as we hit you with the crown topics of the day. We start with the Mets, BT, that incredible win yesterday where Sean Manaea, the ace, goes out there and dominates the Philly lineup. Mets bats coming up big yet again. The crowd was energetic. They take game three, and now they are one win away from the National League Championship Series, and they will play today coming up at 5 o'clock, game four, hoping to clinch their spot in the National League Championship Series.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this team no longer looks like the little engine that could. There was elements of that this season where you're like, all right, you know, how seriously do we have to take them? Where does this run really lead to? Where it's leading is, you know, possibly the National League Championship Series with a win today, and quite possibly what I'm seeing, maybe even a World Series appearance. They've got the elements. Now, there's no guarantee that it continues for 3 weeks or another month to win a World Series, but right now the Mets are built in a way that has to give every Met fan an abundance of confidence that this is going to keep going, because the contributions are from every corner of the roster. The reserves are chipping in. The stars are starting to really become stars again. The starting pitching, great depth. I just think that they're very much in sync. Their manager is rolling right now. They're catching the ball. Even Vientos, who was a bit of an issue when he came up, he's morphed into, forget about a stick. I mean, he's one of the best players, obviously, in terms of hitting, but his defense has become reliable. Taylor in center field yesterday. Marte's two-run single, phenomenal. Like, they just are contributing from every single direction, and they look good.
Yeah, and the one thing I would say, and it's an energetic, excited, confident crowd. That's what I felt yesterday at Citi Field. I would expect more of the same today. Even my expectations that the Mets are going to win today and not go to Philadelphia for Game 5 and move on. But things can change quickly here. Right now, it feels great. Remember, yesterday, part of the reason why I was so confident Sean Manaea was on the mound. Today, it's Quintana, who's been terrific, but he's different. And the attacking nature that Manaea had against that Phillies lineup worked yesterday. Quintana's not a guy who's going to attack necessarily. He's going to try to make you swing at bad pitches out of the zone.
Yep.
I don't know how that's going to work out today, although they do have a well-rested bullpen, whether it's Peterson, whether it's Diaz. I'm just not as confident today, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but either way, you do. Even if the Mets were to lose today, you still feel like, hey, you know what? They've had their backs against the wall before in the unlikeliest of spots and come out okay, but you want to really make sure that you don't see Zach Wheeler and you don't have to go back to Philadelphia for a Game 5.
That would be the last thing that you want to do. Not that you couldn't pull it off. I wouldn't put a limit on them doing that, but yeah, you like to breathe easy and get a little more rest and move on to the championship series. You know, it's funny, like when we talk about certain sports, like, you know, will they let them play? Will the refs let the secondary get touchy and the receivers, you know, kind of grab each other a little bit? Or in the NBA, will they let them bang around a little? Like, we talk about that. Same with hockey. In baseball, I'm going to say something that I don't know that I've ever said before in my life. I honestly don't think I've ever said this or even thought this. I think the way, if the umpires ump in a way that's favorable for Quintana today, then I think they're going to win, because we saw the stat last game. You know, he's got the second, I'll call it nibble percentage. Like, he throws the second fewest amount of balls in the zone, and he does that for a reason, because he's got to expand it. He's got to get nibbled, and he's got to nibble. He's got to have people kind of swing at it so they don't make hard contact. And if he gets some early calls, I think he dials in. I think he expands like a master, and I think he does well. And if it's a little tight early, I think he gets hit.
And there's another major baseball game being played today. This one in Kansas City is the Yankees and Royals. ALDS series shifts to Kansas City for that game three. You're going to face their best pitcher with Seth Lugo on the mound. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm brainwashed from the 90s dynasty. I admit it. I still have confidence in the Yankees, although I know based on watching this team, there are major issues that they have. I just don't think the Royals are that good. Aaron Judge, BT, so far has come up small in the first two games. We know his postseason resume. I still believe Judge gets the job done, and the Yankees will find a way to win this series.
Yeah, and maybe getting away from the Bronx, that's obviously going to loosen him up, or hopefully loosen him up a little bit. And by the way, not just him. Others need to loosen up. I think that, you know, I'll certainly still roll the dice. You know, hey, you got three games to win two. Just find a way to win twice and move on. I get it. I think top to bottom, it's not even close in terms of, you know, top-level talent. Yankees are superior, wit aside, who has not done anything, as we said before. You know, and I focus on Judge. I'm less, not bullish on him big picture. Like, if they keep playing this October, eventually I think he's going to find his way. I'm less confident it happens today. I'm not sure it happens the rest of the series. I think that they can still beat the Royals even if he doesn't do a ton. But I'll tell you what. Like, we were very curious what Boone would do. All right, how's he going to juggle this rotation here once the postseason starts? Cole one, and then what do you do? Two, probably Rodon based on the home splits, blah, blah, blah. Well, he made the decision a couple days ago to go with Clark Schmidt over Luis Gil, and I love it. I think it's very easy now. I don't know what Lugo's going to have, probably top-shelf stuff, and I think that there's a better chance because Gil can nibble and Gil could get loose with the zone and give up a couple of runs. Not that Schmidt is, you know, 1985 Dwight Gooden or 1978 Ron Guidry. I'm not saying that. But I think Clark Schmidt's floor is higher than Heels. I don't think he implodes. I think he puts up some zeros, gives the Yankees a chance to win. And I didn't think this when I first saw that Schmidt was going game three. I actually like this matchup now than if Luis Gil was pitching for the Yankees.
Yeah, see, I'm not there yet. I know Clark Schmidt has been good in the limited time.
Would have been an all-star if he didn't get hurt.
Dude, he was
awesome.
Luis Gil was, I mean, you could argue he was their best pitcher. He was their best pitcher before Gerrit Cole came back.
A long time ago, Sal. It's been a while,
I mean,
man. It's been a minute.
I get that, like you said, the floor, I like the way you said it, the floor is higher for Schmidt.
Yes.
Because Gil could be as dominant as anybody, but he also, not that
could
he could implode.
Five guys.
Exactly. Not that he could implode, but he could be erratic. I mean, the Yankees could be looking at a spot where they're down 2-1.
Oh, they could be.
And you don't even pitch your arguably best pitcher throughout the course of the year in Luis Gil to start. I mean, that is, I get why they lined it up the way that they did. I'm not saying it was an easy decision for Aaron Boone, but I don't think that he thought that the Yankees were going to be 1-1 going to face Seth Lugo in Game 3 on the road when he named Clark Schmidt the starter.
Well, I think if he didn't think that, then he's just negligent. I would have to. It's not like how many differences. Oh, we're either up 2, we're down 2, or tied 1. There's three things you got to think about. What's so hard about that?
I would think he would think that Gerrit Cole. I mean, he pitched Carlos Rodon because he expected him to be good at home. I mean, I would think that he was thinking the Yankees were going to be up 2-0.
Real quick, Sal, do you think there's a chance? Let's say the Yankees, let's say they push this Game 5 and it gets back to the Bronx, which I think it will. You think that they're going to win the next two? And you're going to stand on that, or you're not sure?
Yeah, I'm going to stick. If I thought they were going to sweep, I have to assume that they're going to win the next two.
I respect it. Yeah. I hope that you're right.
I just can't imagine this series going 5, so I'm going to stick to that.
I can, unfortunately. I really can. If it gets to 5, and we just mentioned Luis Gil, don't you think that he's got to entertain sitting down Rodon and giving the baseball to Gil to start Game 5? You have to.
I mean, you're
going to
have Gil on ice though the whole series?
I mean, when are you going to deploy him as a weapon?
I mean
maybe out of the bullpen today, maybe.
But if you don't. All right. And then the other thing that we talked about, in case you missed anything, check out on the Free Odyssey app. But, of course, the Jets, the remnants of the Sala firing yesterday where Woody Johnson spoke and met the media last night. We were obviously off the air, so reacting to Woody's comments. Here's the bottom line. And I kind of said this yesterday with the Sala firing. Like, yeah, I get it. I've been saying for a while now, we all have said the same thing. Like, he's the worst head coach in the NFL, so he should have been fired. However, if a well-run organization was doing this, they would have fired everybody. And the problem is that the foundation is never there for the Jets. They don't have a solid foundation. It starts with the owner. Hackett should be gone. Rodgers is calling the shots. That's the biggest issue that the New York Jets have.
There's some owners you can't stand, and over the years we know who they've been. And then there's some owners that, you know, you kind of have a fairly benign reaction to because they spend enough money, and it's not like they're cheap, and it's not like they have this personality that is grating. But I don't dislike Woody at all. It's just hard to believe in Woody Johnson. That's the bottom line, dude. I mean, nothing he does has worked out. It's been almost 30 years at this point since he bought the football team, and there's always a correlation. Good product, good ownership, bad owner, bad product.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Norman is in Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Norman?
First of all, I got to give props to Sal, who predicted 8-2 last night, and it should have been 8-2. The guy stopped at third for some reason. I have no idea why. You nailed that. perfectly.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Norman. Sal Stradamus was almost in full effect last night.
And Norman, don't think for a second Sal didn't text me and Hoff. Hey, I almost nailed it right to the score, boys. Yeah, he let us know.
Yeah.
We were up 6-2. I'm sitting with my brother, and I told him, I go, Sal on the radio today said 8-2. I think we're going to score two runs. He seems to be on it.
You know where they missed it, too? I thought Lindor was going to go deep in that game, and he almost did right out of the gate, the first batter,
yes,
obviously
did.
Leading off the game. But more importantly than almost getting the score right, I think it was important just to get that feel, BT, where you had the ace, Manaea, go 7-plus.
Yep.
You didn't have to use Diaz, and you kind of had a little bit of a breathing room where it was an easy.
No doubt.
You know, look, they're not easy in the postseason, but you know what I mean. Kind of a rocking chair win.
You read the game. You read the game right. You actually did. Now, another factor was I cannot believe how good of a job City Field did. Between innings, I thought I was at a concert. The lighting, the vibe, and I know this is not them. The early start time, I could bring my son to the game. I was done with that game 8 o'clock. I was home in Jersey by 10 p.m. I couldn't believe it. It was just a magical, special night. I'm like you, Sal. I've been, when they make the playoffs once a decade, I'm there. I'm in the building. And I couldn't believe what an electric, magical night it was. I just hope they take care of business tonight, baby.
Very well said, Norman. It gives me goosebumps. He's right, BT. It is an experience. And when you have the place filled with 45,000 in unison, like I didn't even get a sense of Philly fan presence. You see a couple, smattered throughout. You didn't get that present. They also tied. You know how like the you get those wristbands that light up.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so they didn't.
Jets
hand,
have done that. Yeah,
right. So they didn't hand. Jets and Giants both did it at Thursday night games this year that I went to, and I don't know if the Rangers have done it at the Garden, whatever. Knicks too probably, but they didn't give those out. What they did was they had something similar tied around the handrails as you're walking down each section.
Okay.
And they were lighting up in blue and orange.
That's actually cool.
It was a good idea. Instead of giving them out to the people, wrap them around or something like that around those. It was very cool. Then, you know, when the opponent makes the pitching change, goes into the and the whole stadium goes dark, but those things are lighting up. It was a great, great atmosphere. City Field did a tremendous job. We got on for the Hawk 2 and nonsense. I know Grimace was there yesterday, whatever, as well. People get into that, but it was a great atmosphere.
Did you see the video of Grimace on the train?
Oh, God, it's
awesome.
You like the 508 start?
I don't love it because my son's got a game. I'm obviously going to watch recorded.
Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of do. I wish the Yankees was a little later. Like,
spread it out a little bit.
Mets 508, or even Yanks at 508. Yeah, and then, you know, Yanks at 808. Or
5-7 sucks because it's.
You're going to have the last three innings. We had that Saturday.
I know. But then you miss a little bit.
I stuck with the Mets game.
Yeah, me too.
You're a Mets fan, but I don't like to. Like, the way that game was going, I wasn't slipping. Leaving the Mets.
Yeah.
I had to stay with that flow. Just record the Yankees, get the fire going, start the Yankees from the first pitch. There you go.
The point, though, that Norman made was a good one, too, that 508, like, it's you could bring kids there and not feel like you're there till 11:30
totally.
At night.
Yeah.
Even me now being in Jersey, it's a pain in the neck. I take the 7 train back to the city, which takes about an hour. Then I got to get from the PATH train to my car, which takes... And then from my car home, which should take about an hour. Naturally, they're doing construction at 9:30 at night. So, but leaving the game, you know, it takes 2 hours or so. But I'm still home by 9:30, 10 o'clock.
That's not bad.
Which if you did that on a normal 7 o'clock or 8:30 start or whatever.
Man, think about some of those World Series starts, like first pitch 8:08. Yeah. You get home 1 in the morning.
Yeah, I know. You know who doesn't like the 5:08 start? Evan Roberts. Derek is calling from Sheldon, Connecticut. What's
poor
up?
Guy, he's trapped.
Poor Evan. Even I felt bad for Evan yesterday.
Sure you did.
What's up, Derek?
You would have bashed him if he took off.
I was there for the Alonzo homer. Go ahead, Derek.
What's going on, guys? First off, I got to say that the best thing that happened to the Jets is that the Mets are winning because we're all distracted by that. What a clown show over there. Great interview with Howie Rose. Before I get to my question, I just want to say that I called last Thursday, talked to you guys. I was high anxiety. And I just want to say, before I say anything else, thank you for the perspective. You guys, you brought me back to what's important. I don't remember, I got some health issues and, BT. He put it perfect. He's like, you got to enjoy the ride. Yeah, you got to enjoy the ride. And he finished it off with saying, let's get this win for Derek. And it put a tear in my eyes, so I just wanted to call and say thank you for
man,
that.
That's fantastic.
What an amazing game.
You got to be positive now about this, Derek.
So
I mean, come on.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's my question is, and just tell me if you agree with me with this, is that, you know, it's like I find myself in this place every time that the Mets do this where it's like, you know, the future's so bright. We weren't supposed to be here. And, you know, I remember feeling this way in 2015. You know, they're talking about that pitching staff. We had Harvey, we had Syndergaard, we had, Mets was on his way up.
Mm-hmm.
DeGrom, obviously, right? Like, this was the best, the best rotation since the 90s Braves, right? And we were all like, yeah. You know, like, we are going to be good for many years to come. And, of course, we know the story with that. We never got back. Now, this one has more of a feeling to me of the 2006 playoffs, where there was no expectations, and they got, knocked out by the Cardinals. And what was that, the championship game, I believe?
Yeah, you're talking about 2006? Yeah,
with Andy Chavez, and that was actually...
Yeah, Game 7 NLCS.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to... Yeah, I was lucky enough to be at Shea at the Pepsi Porch, got to be there for that catch. What a moment. So my question to you is, do you agree with me we got to get it. We got to get it this year because you never know when you're ever going to get a chance. And as bright as the future is and all the prospects and, we're just kind of looking at like what next year's team was going to look like. You just don't know what's going to happen.
I agree with that, Derek. And thank you for the call and stay positive there and keep the good health going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about that all the time, BT, as far as being, trying to take advantage when you have the opportunity. Now, I do think the Mets are set up to succeed moving forward, but who the hell knows? They may never have a team that gels with the chemistry and the fun that they may not have that. All the money in the world may not be able to buy what has happened this year. So when you get this close, you want to try to take advantage of that opportunity. You don't know when you're going to have it again.
And I don't think the Mets are unique in that sense. I think that we're all starting, think about this. Hey, Carl Anthony Towns now with the Knicks. Well, think about what Dante did. Now, I'm not saying I don't like the move, but think about what Dante DiVincenzo did for this team. You might increase production or theoretical production, but you can't always replicate the synergy. And that's one thing that this Mets team has in truckloads.
Right.
Now, why you feel good about the future? They nailed the GM. They nailed the manager. The owner's going to spend out of his mind. It looks like the Pete thing is stabilized. At this point, I'd be surprised if he's not back. But second base, we'll see. Right field, we'll see. Center field, we'll see. Maybe it's Acuna, so maybe there's some internal answers. But you probably need next year at least two starting pitchers, maybe a third. So no,
but they should be a playoff. Like the point is,
yeah, they should be a playoff team. But it's just not always as logical. Oh, this team's gonna be great for 3 years. It doesn't always go that way,
right? But the point is, back to the 2015 reference, because he's right. Like you thought, whether it was 06, all right, the Mets are gonna start to take over the town. They're gonna be mainstays with Wright and Reyes, and then the collapse in 07, and again a little bit in 08, and then they didn't refine it until 2015. Then it was these young studs. Harvey's gonna be the best ever. Syndergaard for years to come, and it didn't work out. The difference is this team had no expectations coming into the year.
Yep.
And the foundation is being built. And in the first year the foundation is being built, Cohen, Stearns, Mendoza, you're having great success. And there's no reason to believe that it wouldn't happen. Now, to what degree? Maybe similar to what the Giants experienced, where the Giants over-exceeded expectations in 2022 and had a little bit of a setback. But still, you could see now maybe trending in the right direction with Shane and Dable. And eventually, they're going to have to win. But nothing is guaranteed tomorrow, obviously. I do think this is different for the Mets to where they should be able to have some sustained success.
I do too, but you want to see it. And listen, I think what happened back in the day is that the Yankees normalized dynasties and we've almost become desensitized to the process. I don't know what Islander fans were thinking when they ripped off four straight cups, but I'm pretty sure that they were thinking that this is pretty easy and we're going to be here forever. Haven't won since.
Right.
I mean, yeah, when Clyde Frazier's playing point guard with Willis Reed, you win it in 69, you win it in 73. Knick fans saying, we're good to go. Haven't won since.
Right.
So you really don't know. But, hey, just the opposite of the Jets with Woody and the mess, the Mets have an infrastructure you can believe in. That's not by accident.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Susan Wolman. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll do some Yankees right now as we welcome in, as we always do on Wednesdays at 12:30, Susan Wolman. Susan's appearance is brought to you by Empower Solar. Susan, it's to me, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I am surprised that the Yankees have played the way that they have through the first two games of the series as they now get set for Game 3 tonight in Kansas City.
Okay, which part are you surprised at? What are you surprised at?
Great question. Maybe the fact that I feel like they got fortunate game one. Mm-hmm. Garrett Cole was bad. Even Judge, Susan. I'll give you the two things I'm surprised at most. Garrett Cole and Aaron Judge.
Okay. Well, let me answer them. All right, let's start with Aaron Judge, okay? If you've taken a look at what he's been thrown, and we can say that with Bobby Witt also at the same time. If you look at where they're throwing, he might get one pitch or two pitches all night to hit, and he's not going out of that zone. And what we've learned about this offense all year, you shut down Aaron Judge, you shut down this offense. I'm glad you brought up game one, because if the Kansas City Royals do not walk 8 Yankees in that game, they lose game one also.
Yes, yes.
Now that, but here, you got a whole other thing here. You're going to Kauffman Stadium, which, by the way, the only place that has better offensive numbers than Kauffman Stadium are Coors Field and what's the little place in Cincinnati?
Wow.
Bank One, Bank, whatever. Bank.
Ballpark. Yeah. And, of course, Fenway Park. And Fenway Park. The bad news about that is Seth Lugo. The best game I've ever seen pitched all year was Seth Lugo against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't get anywhere near him. It was like he said, I know it's Yankee Stadium, but Mets, this is what I could have done for you. I could, like, see it on his face. That's the bad news. We'll just see what happens, because you're not going to – this usually happens with teams that are based on one-person offense. You've heard the saying for years, as Aaron Judge goes, so go the Yankees.
Yep.
Well, somebody else besides Aaron Judge has to – I hate those phrases, step up.
Yeah.
But somebody else has to try and do something on this team.
Yeah, and he looks very jumpy, which is why I'm not convinced he's going to bust out of it tonight, hopefully, or anytime.
Well, then if they don't give him any pitch, you know, there's two things about that. People say, well, you know, it's close enough. No, it's not.
I know.
You work your whole career on discipline. You can't.
I know.
So it's. I hate that it's come down to that Aaron Judge has got to do it. There are 8 other people in that lineup.
Yep. Yeah, and some of them have shown signs. Verdugo, Austin Wells, Volpe. Listen, Susan, I'm sitting Stanton. I mean, this very well, he's not playing tonight. I don't know what Boone's doing. That's it. He can't run.
I haven't seen the lineup. Have you seen the lineup? I don't know about the lineup.
I have not, but I'm trying to speak it into happening. Stanton's got to sit. Dominguez, this might be a one-run game. Stanton is 3 times in 2 games. He looks like he's 90. He cannot play tonight.
Yeah, the idea that you can't run to first base is,
Come on.
I don't know what you do. I really don't know. These are things that, you know, this is something that, because they have pummeled their way to things, you sort of don't notice. But how many playoff series have we seen where the star goes 1 for 21? You remember Mr. May? Remember that?
Oh yeah, Dave Winfield.
All you have to do is not pitch to Dave Winfield.
Yeah.
Ted Williams goes 1 for 21 or whatever. It happens over and over. But that's because, to me, there's no balance in this lineup.
Yeah, for sure.
That's, you know, you shut Judge down and nobody else can do it. And as I said to somebody on another show in Kansas City, Aaron Judge doesn't have the luxury of Aaron Judge protecting him in the lineup.
And as well said, we're talking to Susan Waltman, BT and Sal on the Fan, Yanks and the Royals tonight. So, because we anticipate Lugo putting up a lot of zeros, we have to focus on the Yankees pitcher. Interesting, Clark Schmidt over Heel. Do you like that decision?
I do like that decision. And here's the reason why. I love Clark Schmidt stuff. I like Heels too, but Heel can be rattled.
Mm-hmm.
Clark Schmidt can't. He can't. He's very confident. He knows if he gives up something, he'll say, what do I do the next pitch? There's something about Heel that they don't trust in this short series, or he would be in there. Because the stuff, and don't forget, the stuff at the end wasn't as good. He was walking people early, and he does have those one innings. I love Clark Schmidt stuff. I like them both stuff, but to me, it's a better start. Joe Torre always said that game 3 was the most important start of all. And that's why he'd always put someone really calm in there, like Mike Messina, mm-hmm. for years later on. I would rather, just as a person-wise, right now, Clark Schmidt is where I'd go also.
Are they going to use Heal at all, Susan? I mean, Heal was there. You could argue the best pitcher all year long from start to finish.
Well, no, he wasn't. Not all year long. No, he was not. He was at the beginning, and then he had some, you know, at the end. Take a look at some of the walks lately. Mm-hmm. He's got electric stuff, but he can be rattled. I don't know if that's the reason, because all you get from the Yankees, you know, we're in the CIA here, and you can't tell anybody what's really going on. You know, God forbid I put something on the air that that they don't want, you know, or God forbid they think I'm going to run over to Matty Cotrero and say, you know, in the second inning, you know what he's going to do?
Right.
So we get no information, but all we will get is that we just thought it was a better matchup. So, and they put it through their little computers, and the computer spit out Luis Heal, I guess, on this one.
I wonder if Kansas City knows that Giancarlo Stanton can't run, or the Yankees have issues. Like, I mean, the Yankees themselves, Susan, and maybe that's why I'm mad at myself. I'll admit, I'm brainwashed because I lived through, as a Yankee hater, the dynasty in the 90s, okay? So I always think that they're going to come through in the postseason. I've been expecting them to win a World Series every year since 2017. However,
You know what, though? Derek Jeter's not on this team.
Nope. You're right.
Tino Martinez isn't on this team.
Yeah, no, Bernie.
Paul Neal's not on this team.
Scott
Bernie. Yeah. And how can you hate those people? They were so likable.
Well, back then.
They were nice people.
Yeah, well, you're right, Susan. Don't make me unhate them. How about Clemens? What about him? Because I still hate him for hitting Piazza. But no, you're right.
Roger Clemens, one of my oldest and dearest friends, as everybody knows. So,
Sal hates him. I remember.
I mean, he drove Mike Piazza on purpose.
I don't blame you. You should hate him.
No, but you're right, Susan. It shouldn't have anything to do with the way that I feel about this Yankee team. And I know better because I've watched this team this year struggle to an infuriating point. So I'm saying, this team isn't any good. And the best thing anybody said is, well, nobody else is that good either. But then through the first two games against the Royals of all teams, the Yankees look like a team that shouldn't even be in the postseason.
Well, I think you're a little exaggerated, but I'll chalk that up to that's your job. We'll forgive you for that. You know, by the way, before we start go any further here, you know, you were supposed to call me at 20 after I was told, because I was going axe throwing today.
Really?
Before the bus, yes. And I'm going to have to do it tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
But that's okay. So I can talk as long as you want. Nobody... I'll send you pictures from last year. Have you ever been axe throwing?
I have not. I've seen it.
Have. But you got to tilt a few back. You can't drink before the game. You got to get drunk on that. You got to go. You got to throw the axe drunk.
Why would I ever pick up an axe when I'm drunk?
That's why they open that place. That's why you do it.
Well, it is in a bar, I must
say. Yeah, of course.
But at 11:30 in the morning, no one's drunk.
Yeah, have a Bloody Mary.
Have you done it before, axe throwing?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'll send you pictures. Meredith Marakovitz and I went last year. She was better than I, but I got a couple in, yeah.
Well, she's an athlete. She's an athlete. That doesn't surprise me.
Okay. Yeah, she really is.
I got to ask you this. Okay, good. So, all right, let me pick this up here. So, athletes say the weirdest things, and most times I don't overwhelm. I should say most times I don't overreact. Half the time we do overreact. That's what we do.
Yes, you do. You react to everything.
I caught myself, Susan. You're right.
Are you going to talk about Jazz Chisholm saying
they're
lucky?
Yes. I can't stand what he said the Royals were lucky. That's unprofessional.
No, please.
What do you mean, oh, please?
Oh, please. You know, if you stand there and you listen to it, what he said before, if you take out that one little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Then, no, that isn't what he said. He talked about their finding holes, which they did, by the way. They did find holes, however they were hit at 90 miles an hour up the middle. They did find holes, so they did get lucky that they found those holes. He didn't say they're a lucky team. Even even Kansas City was laughing at that. Because everybody said it's going to be bulletin board material. It's not going to be bulletin board material. I mean, this isn't football. This is baseball. Do you think they really care that Jazz Chisholm's... What's he supposed to say? We're terrible?
Well, how about,
no,
Susan?
Of course not.
How about if we would have said, you know what? We're fortunate to be 1-1 in this series the way that we've played.
I'm going to ask you. Everybody yells and screams because... when athletes say all these little patented platitudes all the time, you get one guy in that clubhouse who actually, except for Verdugo, actually says what he feels, and when he does it, everybody screams.
Okay. Now, that's a good point, because for too long, the Yankees were too corporate. I know. They were too corporate. That bothered me. It's like from the conveyor belt of vanilla existence. No, I like guys who tell us what they're thinking, but I got to tell you, when you're down 4-1 and you hit a home run and you're dancing around like you're Michael Jackson and you're still down two runs and you're moonwalking around the bags and then you say that the Royals were lucky, and I love Jazz. I just think he missed the mark on that. I don't like what he said.
Well, okay. Maybe you'll say something different today. Okay.
He hopefully says we won. I mean, because if they don't win, they're in trouble, Susan.
Well, today, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't know what you expect today. I mean, maybe Seth Lugo has a cramp in his arm. I have no idea. All I've seen is Seth Lugo kill this lineup. And it's not that he, you know, this is not a guy who throws 100 miles an hour. This is Jai who's moving things around, and they couldn't touch him. Even Aaron Boone said that last game at Yankee Stadium was the best game that anyone's thrown against them all year. So I don't know what you do about that. And then, you know, but you, here's my whole thing about it. You get somebody on, you better move them over. You better steal a base. You better move someone over. Stop swinging for the fences and try and get that run in. And that is something that the Yankees were good at the beginning of the season. And I'm not quite sure what happened, but that has just stopped. So, you know, if you look at the way Kansas City plays, and I know they don't have a lot of, you know, big home. They have Bobby Witt and Salvi, and now that Pasquantino's back, but he's still got a broken thumb. So, they move their runners around. They are young. They are athletic. They do what they do. They'll steal a base. They'll put down a bunt. They'll fake you out. They will try and do that. And sometimes the Yankees get into this thing that, no, we're just going to pummel you to death. And then you got to remember that it's the playoff, and that's not how the game is usually played.
Yeah, you know what they do? They play baseball. The Yankees sometimes just don't play the game the way that it was meant to be played. I know that they got these stars and the power, but other teams play baseball, and the Yankees just don't do it well enough. You can only
play who's in the room. You know, and that's something, and that's a whole other story. But right now, you got a problem. I like Schmidt, obviously. I love the bullpen coming in. So, you know, just it's not like they don't try to play baseball. It's just not configured the way some of these, and they call them upstart teams. And then there's teams like, you know, on the other side, if you're watching San Diego and the Dodgers, that's a whole other thing. Because those are big guys all the way down. This is just not constituted like this.
You know, Susan, Jazz Chisholm's comments may not register with the Royals. They don't care. But something that did register were the antics of Carlos Rodon. And look, I was in the stadium just as you were. Yeah. The ferocious roar when Rodon struck out the side. He was obviously showing emotions. Some Royals took issue with that or at least punched back a little bit after the game saying you shouldn't celebrate that early. What is up? What is the issue with Carlos Rodon? Why can't he get through five innings, for goodness sake, or four for that matter?
Well, that's another question of who these people are. And, you know, that brings us back to the point. I think it was you that said to me last week about, you know, you pay these guys $200 million or whatever it is. They should perform. You got to figure out who you're signing and what this is. And he's got great stuff, and he's also a fly ball pitcher. And if you look at some of his best start, I mean, when he was an all-star with the Giants, I know he pitched the no-hitter for Chicago, but he had his best years with the Giants when he pitched in the National League West where all those big giant parks were. So that's a whole other thing. You also have to know who you're signing. He's gone through a lot of bad. This probably is the first time he's ever had failure. And last year was a terrible failure for him. And he gets emotional. I don't know. That wasn't, you know, I know he was excited. I wasn't crazy about that either. But
well, and let's face it, if there's a game.
The other thing that is concerning about that, since he's never done that before, I think he was so emotional. That's why guys talk about trying to do something so they don't get amped up.
Yep.
And they try and keep it under control because they know what happens. When you use up all that emotion, it's not just from your gut. It also takes strength away from you. And if you use it all up in the first inning, where are you going to go in the fourth?
I hear you. A quick one, follow up on Rodon, and then one more about Boone, and then I'm out. Susan, in terms of good stuff for you here. Go throw those axes, Susan.
No, that's tomorrow. Okay, now I have to go tomorrow.
Got
it. It's okay. I might need it tomorrow.
Okay. All right. We'll see what the target is. Hopefully not, though.
Yeah, might be doing it in here.
Oh, right. If Yankees lose, we'll be throwing everything. If let's say it gets to a game, just quickly, if it gets to a game five, and Heald doesn't come out of the pen in the next two games, do you think there's any chance that Boone swaps Rodon and Heal?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
Wow.
Just asking.
Rodon's going to pitch
a game five? For a million reasons.
God. Okay. All right. Well, that's not the answer I was hoping for, but I certainly appreciate your honesty.
Well, I can say whatever you want.
No. We have you to speak the truth, which you do.
I mean, but just take a look at what you're saying. And this team, have they ever really surprised you with something?
Yeah, I know. Not too often.
And that
no.
isn't, you know, that's, it's also, there's a lot of people that believe if you don't stay the course, you're panicking.
Uh-huh.
So if the manager panics or whoever makes these decisions, if they're panicking, then you panic too.
Gotcha.
They just don't change that.
Okay.
Much.
All right. So now you were kidding, but in jest, there's truth, obviously, in jest, there's truth, where you said that the Yankees, you know, treat every little thing like a state secret here because you're messing around and say it on the air, which you're obviously not. So you don't get a ton from Boone in that regard, but you're around him every day. Let's face it. This is more macro, but if the Yankees were to lose this series, I think he's out. You don't have to comment on that. But do you sense more pressure that Boone's wearing it a little differently these last couple of days?
I think he's been a little different for about a month.
Mm.
And I think that this is part of it. I mean, this is, and I don't ask him about it. And he says he doesn't think about it. How can you not? How can you not?
To.
And
he's
I don't
human.
Know. See, but I don't know. It's human to do that. I'm not quite sure what. I know this is a very unpopular thought. I don't know what difference it makes. I mean, the way games are, there are very few. I mean, Buck Showalter's not coming back here. Billy's not coming back here. I like the fact that some teams have thought, you know, maybe we should go with a Bruce Bochy. Maybe we should try and get Dusty out of retirement. Maybe we should try and get Tito Francona out of, you know, a guy that has a little gravitas there. I know Boone is, the guys love him, but he is a perfect manager for what they are doing.
That's how about Donnie?
You know what I mean?
How about Donnie?
They had their chance with Don Mattingly.
Yeah,
but also
if it wasn't going to happen then,
yep,
it's not going to happen and now. Boy, would people love that? Huh?
But the point is, this is not on Boone. Like, Boone's going to pay the price.
It's not on him at all.
Right,
because most teams play a certain kind of baseball, and they are. It's like a conglomerative thing, and the manager is there to, you know, be a conduit between, you know, the front office and the 3,700 analytics guys and the team. And that's what Boone does very, very well. And that's how they set it up. You're just, with the way it's set up, I would be really surprised if you got like a let's go kind of guy. And, you know, and it's like, you think the Jets are going to go and get Bill Belichick? He'd turn that around in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
right?
Let's go. I mean,
but they're not going to do it, are they?
Hey, if the Yankees lose this series, I'll take Belichick managing the Yankees. I mean, something's going to have to happen. I mean, come on.
Yeah, wait a minute. Does the girlfriend come too?
Yeah. Right. She does. Let's go.
Is she even old enough? Is she old enough to get in the park? Who the hell knows?
I don't know. They put there were pictures of their summer vacation on
That's
Twitter
awesome.
This morning.
That's great.
Susan, what does John do when you and Meredith are going axe throwing? Does he hang out with you guys or what?
Well, John usually gets up around noon.
So,
has his brunch, you know, looks for newspapers, which I haven't been in hotels for 10 years.
Yeah.
But he'll take the last bus. And he'll get there. Bus,
huh? How's he getting acclimated to the travel here? I know it's the first road trip for a while.
Well, John, he's been fine. It's it was one plane. It's a nice plane. It had a television. He reads his book. And it's fine. He's fine.
All right. We know John on the road. Of course, I like to envision. I know you tell us, like, behind the scenes, you and Meredith hanging out, going, by the way, I'd love to do that. Like, think of how cool that would be. Travel.
Yeah, they always run around Chicago. They get after
it,
those two.
You guys are living the life. I love it on Instagram. It's tremendous. I'd love to be a part of that. And then,
you have to. See, it's like, I'm not a big after game kind of person. I like to get up early and go exploring what's around. Like, you run into very interesting people at certain, like, I'm a big coffee person, and I don't want to keep going to Starbucks, which I love. Yeah. But you look up what's the best, and there's a really great little place, and you get there, and there's a line out the door, and you wouldn't know that they were there. Or you can come to Seattle. We go hiking by the falls.
Wow.
You can do that.
Oh, it sounds so great.
Like, if you get up really early, you can go catch fish that when they bring it in and Pike's Market
over
in Seattle.
Pike, yeah.
There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
Have you ever done any of that with John at all over the years?
No.
John's over at the dispensary in Seattle.
No, John. You don't have to do that anymore. You can just walk down the street. John is a nightlife kind of person. Yes, I'm kind of a day person. I get up at 6.
So. Susan, we love you. We appreciate the time as always.
Awesome job.
Hopefully when we talk to you next Wednesday, it'll be talking about the ALCS. Thanks, Susan.
Okay, who do you want to play, Cleveland or Detroit?
Anybody.
I think
I want to see Cleveland.
I don't want to see Schuylkill. I'll take the Guardians.
Yeah, but over the best of seven. What do you think would be the best series, Susan? What do you think would give us the best seven-game series?
I would be terrified of playing Detroit.
Whoa.
Because A.J. Hinch has them thinking they're the best team in the world.
In a five-game series.
If you ask anybody there who pitches after Schuylkill, your answer is doesn't matter.
They would have beat the Yanks in a five-game series. They're lucky that the Yanks are lucky they got the Royals. I think the Tigers would have beaten them. I don't have to worry about it. It'd be best of seven. So
I think they're very similar teams, the Royals and the they play the same kind of baseball.
With the pitching?
The way they move the runners and they run around. They do have people. Detroit does have people that hit home runs, however.
What do you think, Susan? You think the Yankees get it done this week?
I keep changing my mind every day.
What about
today? If we get to today, I'm not so sure. But tomorrow, yes. And back in New York, I'm saying Saturday.
All right.
I'm seeing a game five.
Thank you,
as well.
Susan. Appreciate it.
Okay. See you guys.
Susan's appearance is brought to you by Empower Solar. Supercharge your savings and electrify your life. That was fun.
She's a trip. She's hysterical.
Nobody told us that we had to get to her right at 12:20 so she could go axe throwing. Hoff's got to tell us that.
I mean, maybe Hoff's got to let. Well, maybe Hoff didn't know.
I can't be begging on Hoff here.
Hoff, did you know?
She said she was told. Hoff, what happened with that? She said that she was told that we were going to call
you
her 12:20. And she was going to go axe throwing with Meredith. And now because we called her, 12:25, because we broke late.
Oh, yeah. You guys broke 10 minutes late.
You didn't say it was because Susan had to be axe throwing. We would have gotten out. I don't want to make Susan upset.
Off the air stuff. We discussed that we had a lot of Rogers audio to play.
Yes.
So I was outside pulling Rogers audio.
Okay.
And the plan of action was you two knuckleheads break on time to give her more time so we can get out.
But there was no you said that she didn't
tell me about the axe throwing.
Oh, okay.
She didn't say that.
Okay, so we didn't know. If there was a specific thing, then we would have broken on time.
All right, but hold on a second. Here's one thing we're missing. Now, we didn't do anything wrong. Now, it's not like she had a tee time at Augusta, where if you're 30 seconds late, you're not getting on the tee box. How popular is an axe-throwing place in Kansas City at 11:30 in the morning?
It sounded like she had to plan this out perfectly, because she was telling me, she's like, I just need to know what time my ins or outs are, because I do have to, there's buses that leave at a certain time.
See, she had to catch a bus to go axe-throwing.
Take an Uber.
Oh, man, now I feel bad.
You know what? When she comes back to New York, we'll take her somewhere.
We'll go axe throwing, yes.
Hoff, have you done that?
I want to.
I've seen it before.
I would do it drunk, though.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said to her. You got to hammer a few back.
Well, it doesn't sound smart, though, throwing axes while drunk.
Yeah, but everybody's behind you. Yeah.
What if it slips out from behind?
That is true. It could absolutely fall. That is true.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris Moltisanti, Cleaver, he's going to have to get on that.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. We'll get back to your calls here on the Yankees, on the Mets, and the Jets as well. 888-808-1019.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.